This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most majestic, the most perfect, the most high. We seek His forgiveness, we seek His guidance, we seek His aid and assistance, and we seek refuge and protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil within ourselves, from the evil around us, and from the evil consequences of our poor choices. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad, our beloved messenger and leader, is the last and final prophet and messenger and servant of Allah. We beg Allah to shower Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mercy and blessings, and his family and his companions and all those who follow his tradition until the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that he has prescribed fasting in this month so that we can attain taqwa. Our gathering here today, one of its purposes is to remind one another to renew our taqwa, our awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our consciousness and our fear of the displeasure and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this month, we are making so much dua, or at least we should be. And many people are praying and crying out and calling out to Allah for a variety of different things. One of the most repeated du'as that is made this month, whether it's in the congregational du'a in witr prayer, or whether it's on an individual level, is for forgiveness. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our shortcomings, of our sins, of our poor choices, of our mistakes, of our wrongdoing. And we should be doing that this month. Those of us that are engaging in that dua, glad tidings to you. But isn't it ironic and isn't it strange and isn't it inappropriate that we are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? Subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran spoke about afu, to forgive and forget and pardon. He talked about safh, to turn a new page, to start from anew, seal, to cover the faults. So many different words that are used to address the same concept of forgiveness because it is so powerful and it is so important. Let us spend a couple of minutes reflecting over the life of our dear beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's begin at the beginning. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born in Mecca, in his community and in his society. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then receives revelation. He is commanded to remind his people to worship Allah alone and only alone. He is not seeking any compensation from them. He is not seeking their wealth. He is not seeking their praise. He is not seeking authority over them. He wishes to call them to that which is for their own benefit, and he does so. They responded by mocking him. They responded by ridiculing him. They responded by accusing him. They called him a liar. They called him a sorcerer. They called him a poet. They called him insane. They forced those that were married to his daughters to divorce his daughters. They dumped filth outside of his door. Not only that, they dumped filth on top of his own body as he placed his head on the ground, worshipping none but Allah. They killed his companions. They tortured his companions. They isolated them. They boycotted them. Economic boycott. Societal boycott. They took from their wealth. They forced other tribes not to do business with them, to cut them off. Eventually, the Prophet ﷺ and his companions have to migrate. They have to leave Mecca so that they can actually worship Allah in peace. And they did so. 8 years pass, and eventually the Prophet ﷺ returns to Mecca. 21 years after he receives revelation. 21 years after everything changed for him in his society. And he went and he purified the Kaaba from the false idols. And he made tawaf and he worshipped Allah. And then he called out to the people of Mecca and he asked them a question. And he said, "What do you think I'm going to do to you today?" After all that pain and all that hurt, all those wounds, all those lives, all that wealth, all those insults, 21 years. Do you think he forgot about them? Alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not forget. What about his own uncle and brother from nursing that was not only killed but whose body was mutilated? Do you think he forgot about Hamza? He did not forget about Hamza. What do you think I will do? Of weakness. The last people from Mecca that did not accept Islam, they realize now that they no longer have the upper hand. And so they pleaded. Actually, they didn't even have the guts to plea. They spoke in the most passive of tones possible. They said, "Ibn Karim, Ibn Akhin Karim, a righteous and generous brother, son of a righteous and generous brother of ours. That's all that we know of you." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Idhhabu fa antum al-tulaqa." No revenge today. We won't make you pay for all that you did in the past. Go now, you are free. Whoever stays inside their house, they're safe. Whoever stays in the house of Abu Sufyan, they're safe. Anyone wishes to accept Islam, you are safe. Today is not the day of revenge. Today is not the day of taking back what you took from us in the past. Today is the day of forgiveness. That was the attitude that the Prophet ﷺ displayed to those that had hurt him so deeply. What about Yusuf ﷺ? Another beautiful messenger whose story is told to us in the Qur'an, one of the most beautiful and loved stories in the Qur'an. Very quickly, Yusuf is born. His father is a prophet, who's a son of a prophet, who's a son of a prophet. They are the descendants of Ibrahim. Yusuf has 11 brothers. But he's so beautiful. And his father loves him so much. So much so that his father tells him, "Don't share this dream that you have with your brothers, because they already have these feelings of jealousy and envy. It's going to ignite those feelings even more." But those feelings were there. His own blood were far, far away. Maybe somebody passing by will find him and take him, and he'll be out of your lives once and for all. Jealousy, envy. By an enemy? No. By a blood brother. And the years and the decades pass. He's sold as a slave. He's then plotted against again. He's thrown into prison. He shows kindness to his cellmates, but they forget him again. Until eventually, years and years later, he finds himself at a position of authority. And his own brothers come to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If you do afu, if you erase, if you forgive, if you do safh, if you start a new page and move on, start from anew. If you do maghfirah, if you conceal the faults of those that have done you wrong, then you will find Allah to be the most forgiving, the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about spouses. A husband and wife that are having marital discord. إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they want islah, if they want that relationship to be rectified, if they want those wounds to be mended, Allah will give them success in what they are seeking. But if they're out to get the other person, that is not a situation where there will be islah, where there will be rectification. It can't happen that way. There has to be an intention and a desire and a strength to overcome the pain, to overcome the grudges, to overcome the wounds and say, "I will forgive." Why? Because Allah is the most forgiving and I need Allah's forgiveness. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Allah says in the Qur'an that for you to forgive and to overcome is better. It's the best thing that you could possibly do in your relationships. But forgiveness is not easy. Maybe it's easy for some people, but for many it's very difficult. And the deeper the wound... Alhamdulillah wahda. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa an'im wa barik ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina wa Habibina wa Imamina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Amma ba'd. When we talk about forgiveness, there are two aspects to the equation. We tell people, all people, I'm going to be passing soon and I will leave behind many of you. أَلَا فَمَنْ كُنْتُ جَلَدْتُ لَهُ ظَهْرًا فَهَذَا ظَهْرِي. If I have hit any of you on your backs, here is my back. Come and take your pay. وَمَنْ كُنْتُ أَخَذْتُ لَهُ مَالًا فَهَذَا مَالِي. Whoever I have taken from their wealth, here is my wealth now. Take from it. وَمَنْ كُنْتُ شَتَمْتُ لَهُ عِرْضًا فَهَذَا عِرْضِي. And if I have cursed or harmed any of you in your honor, here is my honor in front of you today. Take your payback. And don't be worried about any evil consequences. It's fair and square. أَوْ حَلَّلَنِي فَلَقِيتُ رَبِّي وَأَنَا طَيِّبُ النَّفْسِ. Or that you forgive me and free me from the bound and the bindings of wronging you so that I can meet my Lord and I will be content. Who was this speaking? This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't wrong anyone, but yet he understood the evil impact of oppression. He's the one that taught us الظُلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oppression is layers of darkness on the Day of Judgment. We are begging Allah, we are fasting, we're praying, we're giving sadaqah, we're doing all of this. But how can we expect to meet Allah seeking a reward for all of these actions when somebody else is actually going to be taking all of these rewards because we've wronged them? The Prophet ﷺ asked the companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who the bankrupt person is? Well, you know, economics teaches us that the bankrupt person is the one whose expenditures are higher than their income. But the Prophet ﷺ said, no, the muflis, the bankrupt person, is the one who comes on the Day of Judgment with prayer, with fasting, with charity, with good deeds, with hajj, with umrah. But they cursed that person, and they hid that person, and they cheated that one, and they lied to this one. And so they will come on the Day of Judgment, and their good deeds will be distributed to all of those people that they had wronged until they will have nothing left to give. And if they still owe more people, then they will then take the burden of those people's sins. In closing, this is a reminder of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which the Prophet ﷺ experienced sadness. But then he experienced happiness and amazement and wonder. The Prophet ﷺ informed us of two men. On the Day of Judgment, we'll be kneeling before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them will call out to Allah and say, oh Allah, take my right for me from this man. He wronged me. And I never got my right back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call out, take from the good deeds of this man and give it to the one. Was a part of Jannah to this man. And he sees the palaces and the rivers and the blessings of Jannah. And he will ask Allah, oh Allah, for whom is this Jannah? What Nabi, what martyr, what king gets this Jannah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, this Jannah is for whoever is willing to pay the price of it. And he will say, what is the price, oh Allah? And Allah will say, you have the price. You have the currency to pay the price. And the man will say, how? What do I have? And Allah will say, forgive your brother. That is what you will earn with forgiveness It seems so small, but it is so powerful. And he will yearn for that Jannah so much that he will forgive his brother. And Allah will say, take your hands and go into the Jannah together. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so vast. But between one another, we have shortcomings between each other. Right now, today's khutbah, it's not a khutbah to stroke anyone's ego. It's not a khutbah to just come out from and say, I feel good, I'm a Muslim today. Alhamdulillah.